on this Thursday, October 24th. Good afternoon. It's 59 degrees in Richland Center at 12:09. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wildfire danger around Wisconsin is high to very high. Catherine Cooley is the DNR's wildfire prevention specialist. She notes many people are preparing their properties for the upcoming deer season.
So we're seeing kind of an uptick in the number of equipment fires right now. Folks are operating, you know, chainsaws and UTVs and using lawnmowers, and these are causing some sparks, or these hot exhaust systems. And they're happening kind of in more remote areas, more natural areas, and they're kind of sneaking around, and we're not getting to them because we don't know that they're happening. And then they kind of evolve into larger fires.
Exhaust sparks can easily start a fire in dry grass and brush.
And obviously, if you do cause a fire, the best thing to do is to call 911 immediately and get those professionals out there as quickly as possible, because if we can keep that fire small, we can put it out pretty quickly.
Cooley says there are steps you can take to lessen the risk of starting a fire.
We typically have lesser winds and higher humidity in the morning or late in the evening. So, you know, if you could try to avoid operating equipment in the peak of that fire day, so kind of that 1 to 4 o'clock is really when we really see the winds really gusting and that humidity kind of bottom out. You know, have a fire extinguisher handy or water source.
For the most current fire danger situation, search Wisburn on the DNR homepage. Nearly 100,000 people cast early ballots on the first day of in-person absentee voting in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Elections Commission reported 97,436 in-person absentee ballots Tuesday, with long lines in Madison and Milwaukee. That compares to 79,774 ballots cast the first day of in-person absentee voting 4 years ago. That heavy turnout slowed down the WisVote system, and Elections Commission Chair Ann Jacobs posted that the computer service space. The commission worked with the State Department of Enterprise Technology to create more computer server space. State Republican and Democratic Party officials have encouraged early voting, and Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz joined former President Barack Obama at a Madison rally Tuesday to urge supporters of Vice President Kamala Harris to cast their ballots early. Vance will be back in Wisconsin next week. The Trump campaign says Vance will speak in Racine Monday. He's expected to criticize Vice President Kamala Harris on economic issues while touting former President Donald Trump's plan for the economy. Vance was in Waukesha just last weekend, and his Racine even will be just days after Harris's running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, was also in Racine. The stop marks Vance's sixth trip to Wisconsin. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. continues his quest to be taken off Wisconsin's presidential ballot. Wednesday, Kennedy asked the U.S. Supreme Court to remove him from the ballot in the battleground state. Kennedy argued in his long-shot emergency request that Wisconsin is violating his First Amendment rights by keeping his name on the ballot, which is already being used for early voting in the state. Kennedy suspended his independent presidential campaign in August to endorse former President Donald Trump. While asking for his name to be removed from ballots in battleground states, Kennedy has encouraged supporters to vote for him in other states. One of the hallmarks of American elections is that there's a lot of waiting. The 2020 presidential contest, for example, wasn't called until 4 days after the election. As we look ahead to the 2024 election, we can expect some more waiting on election night. There's no national body that administers the election, so every state, plus the District of Columbia, gets to decide how they run their elections, and they all do things a little differently. As people watch the results on election night, it's important to understand that these rules can mean different candidates take the lead at different times, and that tabulating final results can take days and even weeks. Voters can expect to be in suspense in several swing states that will determine who wins the White House. In Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, for instance, mail ballots are not opened until Election Day, which extends the vote counting process. Most states with mail voting allow ballots to be opened several days before Election Day and tallied ahead of time. That's why some states with a lot of mail ballots, like Georgia, report their results faster. Other states that rely heavily on mail can no longer, however. In Arizona, voters can drop off a mail ballot as late as the time polls close on Election Day. And a recent law in Nevada allows ballots that are mailed on Election Day and arrive a couple of days later to be counted. In recent elections, misinformation has spread in places where election officials have taken days to release a complete ballot count. Experts and election officials say state laws are a factor and that time and labor are necessary to process and correctly tabulate ballots. A human case of West Nile virus in western Wisconsin. Public health officials say the case was confirmed in Eau Claire County. It's the county's only case so far this year and will likely remain the only one as mosquito season winds down. West Nile is transmitted by mosquito bites and can be dangerous to people with weakened immune systems or other complications. Across the country, children are facing more mental health challenges than ever before. Now the state superintendent wants to give schools more resources. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
The state superintendent is asking for millions of dollars to go towards students' mental health. Jill Underley announced she's requesting more than $300 million in the next biennial budget to support kids. 6 in 10 Wisconsin students reported having some sort of mental health challenge over the last year. Under her plan, each district would get an extra $100 per student to spend on mental health programs and infrastructure. Now, that's just one part of the budget request for the Department of Public Instruction for the 2025 through 27 school years. The rest of the proposal will be released next month.
State and federal efforts to connect people with disabilities to meaningful career opportunities achieved a new milestone in Wisconsin, setting a record high for the number of working-age individuals employed, according to the latest data from the U.S. Census Bureau. The achievement celebrated recently follows years of investments in the Career Pathways Advancement Initiative, which has received more than $20 million in Disability Innovation Fund grants since 2021. Data from the American Community Survey, released by the U.S. Census Bureau, reveals that Wisconsin achieved a record high of 189,194 working-age individuals with disabilities employed in 2023. This marks the second consecutive year of record-high employment for workers with disabilities in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin State Telecommunications Association recognized Representative Tony Kurtz for his support of public safety and Next Generation 911 this week in an award presentation at the Lynx Networks office in Camp Douglas. Representative Kurtz received the WSTA Excellence in Legislative Leadership Award, recognizing his role in authoring NG911 cost recovery legislation for telecommunications providers, which was signed into law as 2023 Wisconsin Act 222 in March of 2024. WSTA Executive Director Bill Esbeck said that Kurtz's leadership was critical in passing this legislation that will allow telecommunications providers to recover their ongoing cost associated with facilitating the next generation 911 system. The cost recovery will ensure upkeep of the new system by providing the funding needed for expenses such as equipment, database management, and the routing of the 911 calls, all of which now fall on the state's telecommunications providers. Next Generation 911 is a new emergency calling system that improves the efficiency and accuracy of emergency calls by routing them over a digital internet protocol-based system, replacing the analog 911 infrastructure that's been in place for decades. The transition to this new system requires telecommunications providers like Lynx Networks to make significant investments in their networks to meet the new technical standards of the 9G or the NG911 system. While cost recovery is in place for the initial system upgrades, there was no ongoing NG911 cost recovery for service providers for expenses such as equipment, database management, and the routing of the 911 calls. The legislation authored by Representative Kurtz acknowledges the cost burden that NG911 places on Wisconsin telecommunications providers and allows providers to recover these ongoing costs. The National Federation of Independent Business presented Wisconsin Senator Joan Balwig with its 2024 Guardian of Small Business Award. NFIB's Guardian Award recognizes leaders who stand up for and advocate on behalf of small businesses. It is NFIB's most prestigious legislative award. Senator Balwig is a small business owner and NFIB member. She was selected for the award by a panel of small business owners from across the state. NFIB Wisconsin is the leading small business association in the Badger State, advocating on behalf of its members in both Madison and Washington, D.C. The newest train route to go through Wisconsin has hit a milestone less than 6 months in. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The new Amtrak line that just launched earlier this year has already had 100,000 riders. The Borealis line goes from Minneapolis-St. Paul to Chicago with stops throughout Wisconsin. La Crosse, Tomah, Wisconsin Dells, Portage, Columbus, Milwaukee, and Sturtevant. People riding on the Borealis line today got a free drink and a 100 grand bar to celebrate the milestone. Now that the route is in operation, it's the first time in 46 years two trains leave from the cities to Chicago every day. The Borealis line just launched in May of this year.
It's time for this week's Richland County History Moment with Richland County Historical Society President Ken Theed.
20 years ago, President Bush, campaigning in southwestern Wisconsin, gives a campaign speech at Richland Center High School, dated October 26, 2004. And now for a Richland County Historical Society History Moment. Here's the rest of the story. According to Selena.com, campaigning for re-election in the fall of 2004 on October 26th, then-President George W. Bush on that day made stops in Onalaska, then an unannounced stop at the Sylvan T. Farms, owned by John and Connie Turgeson, in northwestern Richland County, and then on to Richland Center. The afternoon included another speech in Cuba City and concluded in Dubuque, Iowa, when then they returned to Washington, D.C. The president and his wife, Laura, along with their entourage, were transported by motor coach buses on Highway 14 from La Crosse to Richland Center on Highway 80 South on to Cuba City. The president spoke at 11:43 a.m. at Richland Center High School. In his remarks, he referred to then-Mayor Rita Kidd of Richland Center, Dale Schultz, who was campaigning for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, his wife Rachel, who was the district administrator at Richland School District, and John Clare, the principal of Richland Center High School. The president's speech was about focus on the economy. On stage with President Bush, including having discussions with them, the following four citizens: Corey Knabel, a new homeowner; Eric Soy, president of Seats Incorporated; Margie Siemens, a working mom covering child tax credits; and Jim Greeley, a small business owner. If you're interested in checking out more information on this article, look at the October issue of the Achy Breaky newsletter. In the insert section, a full 4-page article is featured. Listen next week for the history of Richland County, covering Richland Center making the Guinness Book of World Records. That history made 8 years ago.
The Richland County Historical Society appreciates your support. It's been a great year with many new family, individual, and business members. Would you consider joining? For just $10 a year, individuals or families can be a member. Yearly memberships for businesses, just $20. A lifetime membership is available for just $100. Membership payments and donations can be sent to the Richland County Historical Society, 213 South Central Avenue, Apartment 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. The Society hopes you're enjoying these weekly history moments.
The American Red Cross continues to work to restock critically needed blood products. Donors are encouraged to make an appointment to give now to help keep the blood supply stable. A blood drive is being held this afternoon until 5:30 at First Baptist Church in New Lisbon. Two blood drives will be held tomorrow from 10 to 3 at Grace Lutheran Church in Dodgeville and from noon to 5 at St. Anthony and Philip Parish Center in Highland. Appointments are appreciated by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS or go online to redcrossblood.org. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources encourages Wisconsinites to take action to help bats during International Bat Week, which runs today through October 31st and throughout the year. Bats are some of the most gentle, valuable, and mysterious animals in our neighborhoods. They are vital to many ecosystems and have significant positive environmental, economic, and public health benefits. Insectivorous bats consume large numbers of agricultural pests, saving farmers and foresters billions yearly. A bat helps control bugs in your backyard by eating up to 1,000 mosquito-sized insects per hour and up to the equivalent of its body weight every night. Of the 8 bats found in Wisconsin, 4 are state-threatened species. The big brown bat, little brown bat, northern long-eared bat, which is also federally endangered, and tricolored bat, and 1, the silver-haired bat, is of special concern, meaning the population is declining and in need of conservation action. The decline of bats in Wisconsin is primarily due to white nose syndrome caused by a fungus that attacks the bare skin of bats during hibernation. The disease exhausts their energy stores and leaves them vulnerable to starvation before their insect diet becomes available in the spring. In 2014, white nose syndrome was first detected in the state at a large hibernation site that was home to 1,000 little brown bats. By 2018, the population there had dwindled to only 9 individuals. While recent Wisconsin Bat Program survey counts show rebounding numbers at some significant hibernation sites across the state, there's still a long way to go. Despite recent glimmers of population recovery in little brown bats, hibernating bats are still stressed by white nose syndrome each winter. Help take care of these valuable mammals in your area by taking a few simple steps. Learn how you can build your own bat house, participate in an International Bat Week event, plant native plants that are foundational to a healthy backyard ecosystem, control burdock on your property, which can fatally entangle bats and small songbirds. After burdock has gone to seed, avoid composting, which may allow it to spread. Maintain an insecticide and herbicide-free yard. They can harm bats through the food they eat. And in outbuildings and basements frequented by bats, keep buckets overturned or on their sides to avoid trapping bats and other small mammals. For more information about bats, visit the Wisconsin DNR's Frequently Asked Questions webpage. Simon's Recreation Complex in Richland Center will host a Halloween pool party Saturday. Enjoy music, popcorn, food and refreshments, swimming, and the new pool inflatables. Kyle Ewing is the assistant director at Simon's.
They're kind of like obstacles where you can climb. I mean, they've got hundreds, if not thousands, of options of different things you can choose and pick from to buy. And I mean, you can jump off. One of them is like about 4 or 5 feet in the air. So you can jump off and jump in the water from there. It's actually called a subway. So it's got like a top dome where you can climb on top, jump off, but you can also be underneath while people are climbing on top.
The public is invited to attend the Halloween party at Simon's this Saturday from 2 to 5. Cost of admission is free for members and $5 for non-members. National Drug Take Back Day is Saturday. The Wisconsin Department of Justice coordinates the effort to provide a safe, convenient, and responsible means of disposal of prescription medications while also educating the public about the potential for abuse of these medications. Local law enforcement is working with community partners to host drug take-back sites in Grant, Richland, and Sauk counties. The Grant County Sheriff's Office will get an early start on National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. Grant County will hold a collection Friday between the hours of 9 and 11:30 at Grant County Elderfest, located at the Grant County Fairgrounds Youth and Ag Building in Lancaster. The Richland Center Police Department will be hosting a local Drug Take Back Day event Saturday from 10 to 2 at the Richland Center Police Department. If you are unable to attend Drug Take Back Day, permanent drop boxes to dispose of unwanted medications properly are located at the Richland Center Municipal Building, the Richland County Sheriff's Department, Center Pharmacy, and the Viola Village Hall. Local law enforcement is working with community partners to host 3 drug take back sites in Sauk County. The Sauk Prairie Police Department from 9 to noon, and the Spring Green Police Department and Plain Municipal Office, both from 10 to 2. For Sauk County residents that cannot attend Drug Take Back Day, medications can be dropped off at year-round drug take-back sites at the Ho-Chunk Nation House of Wellness, the Sauk County Sheriff's Department, and police departments in Lake Delton, Reedsburg, Sauk Prairie, Spring Green, and Wisconsin Dells. Accepted items include any prescription or over-the-counter medication, including capsules, creams, inhalers, non-aerosol sprays, ointments, patches, pills, vials, and liquids in original containers and vapes with removable batteries. Not accepted are aerosol cans, anything containing blood or bodily fluids, batteries, cosmetics, eyeglasses, household hazardous waste, iodine-containing medications, thermometers, personal care products, vapes, and e-cigarettes with built-in batteries. All accepted items must be in sealed containers or Ziploc bags. For security, people are encouraged to black out their names and other personal information listed on prescription labels with a marker.